We thought the worst was over. We thought we had overcome this new disease and going about our lives. But a more devastating crisis was about to unfold.
The strains changed in the second wave, and the ability of this strain to impact or infect other people faster was much higher than the first wave.
The virus that is there, it does not want to kill its host. Virus wants to live into our genome forever and multiply and replicate.
A terrifying wave of COVID-19 was about to grip our country.
The minute you would get up in the morning, you could smell smoke in the air. It was the bodies burning everywhere. The death rate had become really high.
And we would need to do whatever it takes to battle this unseen enemy. The spring of 2021. It is business as usual in India. COVID-19 cases had peaked in September 2020. And by early February 2021, the national daily was around 10,000 cases.
The COVID pandemic is in the end game in India.
More than half of India's states weren't even reporting COVID deaths. Life seemed to get back to how it was. But in a couple of days, things started to change. And I, just another ordinary Indian, would watch the devastation unfold. Signs of the second wave first show up in Maharashtra. COVID cases in Mumbai, the state's financial capital, begin to rise.
Mumbai has reported more than 9,000 daily coronavirus cases, which is the Maharashtra state's capital's highest ever single day spike, according to Mumbai's municipal body, the BMC.
We always knew that second wave is coming because we were minutely monitoring Europe, Italy, Germany, France, UK. The first wave was not very infectious. Second wave was highly infectious. We knew that the virus is the same. Second and third waves are coming in UK. Why it shouldn't come to India?
The second time around, the virus has mutated to be more transmissible. And when there was just this wall of cases, the country's oxygen supply was quickly depleted because the demand for medical oxygen went up tenfold during that peak.
Soon, infections begin to spread across the country.
Daily deaths increased by over 500% in just 1 month. Deaths have been rising at a scary rate of almost 10% a day in April.
The national capital, Delhi, is hard hit.
Young people were getting sick this time. 17 years, 16 years old, they were getting sick. It did not happen last year. Last year it was all people above 65, people above 55, and anyone below that would just get all right. But this time they were getting much sicker. Any amount of oxygen given to them was less. Any amount of medicines that we could give was less. The treatment protocol was same, the disease was same, the way it looked on CT scan was same, but the mortality this time was very high. After 2 or 3 days of coming to the hospital, some of them, they would die. And at the same time, the oxygen crisis started.
कितने cylinders खाली हैं
अभी? मैं अभी मेरे पास दो हैं, 12 cylinders खाली हैं, बनाना ना जा रहा हूँ, emergency ambulance लेके.
The main thing people required was oxygen, which suddenly was not available anymore.
A normal COVID patient last year would require oxygen of only around 4 or 5 liters per hour. This year, a normal COVID patient who's admitted in the ward would require average oxygen of around 10 liters per hour. And when the patient comes to ventilator, the oxygen requirement is almost say 45 liters per hour. So we were scared to put patients on ventilator or to keep patients on ventilator because one cylinder would last one patient. for 24 hours. On a ventilator, I would need 6 such cylinders.
The lack of oxygen cylinders was because public was buying cylinders in black, filling it up and keeping it at home, rather than understanding that if these cylinders were left to go to the hospitals and if these cylinders could be filled by the hospitals, there would be more availability of bed in hospitals to treat their patients. We had beds. We had lots of beds, but we had no oxygen.
We were running from one place to another. We ran 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 miles to a place where we could find an oxygen. We were continuously on our phones, trying all our leads to provide us oxygen.
You know, people could not believe it that you are getting oxygen free. There was a time when the rental of oxygen cylinder was 10,000 rupees and we were giving oxygen free of cost for everybody.
We have about 4,000 oxygen cylinders in distribution, and this facility can accommodate 500 people. The patients who are coming here are the ones who don't find a bed. Some have been in their cars finding a hospital bed for the past 30 hours as well. So the patients who come here are very critical. I still remember the first day we set up the facility. We had one patient coming in an auto rickshaw. They didn't have the money to even get the patient in an ambulance.
There we have seen patients who are calling us, okay, we are coming from 50 kilometers, so you please keep something for us or so, right? Like, we call them after some time and we have seen that they passed away in transit itself.
There were 4 people dying, you know, every day in front of our eyes. That was the biggest challenge for the entire team, you know. When we could not save the people, because when people come to us, oxygen level is 30, 40, 50, and we try our best to save them, but we can't do everything for everyone, you know.
See, we prioritize people whose oxygen levels are below 80, because we know that the person who has, for example, an oxygen level of 90, they'll easily survive and they're stable. But the one who might come in another 10 minutes, they will be at a more severe case. So this is how we plan. There is no solution to it. You need to draw a line at some point. But yes, saying no to someone is the hardest thing you can ever do.
So our focus now is that for each bed that we have at our O2 center facilities, we'll always have one concentrator for backup. It will help us to not rely on the supply chain of oxygen cylinders, on oxygen refilling stations and all. We just need electricity connection to run an oxygen concentrator, and our volunteers will be all set to keep this facility running 24/7.
The journey doesn't end today. I'm fortunate enough to be waking up tomorrow to serve more people. So that is an inspiration in itself.
Started Mission Oxygen with a group of friends, all entrepreneurs, founders of technology companies and other businesses in Delhi. Mission Oxygen is just an initiative that was started from a feeling of helplessness, a feeling of motivation that we all had to do something.
When this Mission Oxygen came up on this WhatsApp group of ours, I couldn't stop from saying that, yes, I would like to be part of doing something good for my country and for the frontline workers out there.
When we started speaking to hospitals in Delhi NCR, we realized that every hospital was asking for 10, 20, 40, 50, 100 pieces. And, you know, within a few hours, we all realized that this is not a problem that is going to get solved with 100 or 200 or 500 or 1,000 pieces. The requirement is of thousands and thousands.
We couldn't find anything in India, and that's why we, you know, started looking outside India, like how can we import these.
And one of the reasons why we chose China was because one of the factories that we found, it was a WHO-approved supplier for oxygen concentrators. It was the only one, in fact, in China. We had to book charter planes so that we can get these concentrators in time in India, because there were a lot of flights that were getting cancelled. So all the airports in China, they were overloaded with cargo. There were like 700 tons, 1,000 tons of cargo extra. So we had to take that decision that everything that we're bringing in, we'll have to bring in through chartered flights. This is very difficult, very, very taxing what we're doing. We've all been
you know, working, I think, 18, 20 hours a day, sleeping 3 hours, 4 hours.
So the goal is to get these out within the next 2-3 days to reach the destination.
The oxygen crisis escalates in the last week of April, in Delhi especially.
Desperate Indians today around the country are begging, pleading and dying, waiting for beds, oxygen and medicines.
There is a national oxygen emergency and it has to be called exactly that.
And hospitals face a devastating truth. They may not have enough oxygen for their patients.
That particular night, it was really like a horror movie. You didn't know what to do. People were gasping. The families were crying. They were desperate.
And you know that these people, they are totally dependent on the oxygen. The minute the oxygen dips, their saturation dips and they start becoming sick. The helplessness that was there at that point of time could not have been imagined. There is no authority that I did not beg to.
Nothing could be done at that time. We contacted the ministry, we contacted MLAs, we contacted people in high up stations, but nobody could help us. People stopped answering calls. I had this vision that the staff in our ICU are standing, the oxygen is over. One by one, patients are dying.
And at that point of time, I took to social media.
We don't have enough oxygen to sustain our patients for the next 2 hours. We are trying since 4:30 in the morning, 4:30 a.m. Our vehicles have gone to Bhavana, they have gone to Faridabad, they have gone to Noida. We are not getting oxygen anywhere. We have young patients who will die in the matter of 2 hours. I request you, please send oxygen to us. We need oxygen for our patients.
Luckily, 4 or 5 hospitals, they came to my rescue. And somehow I managed to get enough oxygen to run that night.
But oxygen wasn't the only thing we're running out of. Hospital beds, medicines, ventilators, all critical tools to fight the pandemic are in short supply. A lethal second wave of the COVID-19 virus engulfs India. And there is an acute shortage of oxygen and hospital beds.
People were dying because of the fact that they couldn't get a bed in a hospital, that they couldn't get an oxygen concentrator to save their lives. I think these are really hard times, and the fact that all of us have come together to support this sort of cause. It wasn't our responsibility to have to step up and do the work, but we did because we couldn't let the lives of the people be another number on the screen.
Also, we need to set up the Facebook helpline because the Instagram helpline is kind of glitching and we got locked down.
So let's have a meeting tomorrow at 12:30. I'll put a text on the group if you want, Abhi.
When we started Uncut, initially it was 2 teenagers who thought that, you know, we should try and engage the youth more.
So a month and a half ago, we had a little bit of extra free time on our hands. So we decided to put that free time into doing COVID resources work and just compiled a couple of resources for each, and we put them on our website and we started circulating those links on social media.
Instead of having to frantically run around in 10 hospitals getting denied everywhere, we could direct them to the one place that they could get the life-sustaining things that they need to save themselves and their families.
As you can see, there are all the states below and you have to work with the state that you're assigned with.
We managed to make a database of all resources, whether it was beds, injections, anything that was available, and we managed to get it live onto our website within the matter of 14 hours.
I have a bunch of ambulance resources. I'll just send them to you, Abhi. And can someone add those to the database as well? So the first day we did our database work and we put it on social media, and we got a text from someone asking, hey, can you find me these resources? And the entire team just jumped on it, making phone calls and trying out personal contacts as well to try and find the resources. And 2 hours later, we got a call from that person saying, hey, the patient is stable now and the doctors are very hopeful that he'll make a recovery.
I think that was the moment where we realized that we're doing a big thing.
We've divided the entire team into fragments. Like, we have a team which is sending in resources to a group. We have a team which is adding it to the database, and we have a separate team who's verifying it side by side. So the whole process just becomes a lot faster and smoother. Is there anything which went wrong? Is there anything we can improve, like as a team, that we can work on database wise, helpline wise, anything?
I will forward you the numbers.
One of our volunteers, he woke up in the morning for his first DM shift at around 8, and the first thing he had to do was look for a body bag for someone in Lucknow, because the patient had passed away half an hour back and they needed a body bag. So stuff like this, it just takes a huge toll on the team.
सौ डेढ़ सौ दो सौ बॉडी के हिसाब में डेली बॉडी आती है. पहले तो जी हम ये था कि सवेरे जैसे 6 बजे से आए, 8 बजे तक का काम करते थे. अब 6 बजे आते हैं तो अपने शाम को 5-6 बजे घर चले जाते हैं. फिर हम सबसे ज़्यादा मुश्किल तो ये जी, अब जैसे बच्चे हैं जिन्होंने देखा कुछ नहीं है, 18-18 साल, 17-17 साल, उनके माँ बाप जो हमारे से बात करते हैं, पंडित जी इसका आगे कैसे करेंगे हम, हमारे से तो होएगा नहीं कर्म. ये बहुत दुख लगता है हमारे को.
Due to, you know, large number of cases, ambulance shortage is there in Delhi NCR. So we are now providing cremation services in our own makeshift ambulances as per protocols. Whosoever calls us, we do it as per their religion. So we have done it for the Christians and Muslims as well. The feeling of helping someone keeps us motivated. I know what we are doing right now, we cannot label as a happy service because we are taking someone's beloved person to the cremation ground. But the struggle which they face for that process, because we Indians are very emotional about the cremation process and we love to do it with dignity. We usually give preference to those who died at home due to COVID, because it is very difficult for them to manage ambulance, because even if you get an ambulance from government services, they'll not come inside your home to, you know, pick dead body and bring them out of your home and, you know, seal the dead body as per the protocols. There has been instances that in a week we have picked 3 dead bodies from same home. There is no one to, you know, perform the last rites, because there is no one left in the family who can go out and do all the rites. Hardest part is when there is no one to help in this carrying this load. This is around 400 kg. When there is no one to pick up, then we 2 guys have to do this. And when it's peak time, because of all the bodies cremating around, it's too much heat. So actually we are waiting for this line to be, you know, fully piled up with the woods and the body, because once we start burning the whole piles, you'll not be able to stand up over here because of the heat. You can see this ground has broken due to excessive heat, so they have to burn it all together. The cries I have heard of the families, the kind of tragic stories I have seen during this second wave is definitely very difficult to forget. We can't cry in front of people. We can't show our emotions because we have to do this multiple times in a day. So we prefer to keep our emotions behind this mask.
Next consignment of oxygen concentrators has just come in from the airport. About 1,000 pieces or so have come in this consignment, and they're just getting unloaded from the vehicles and getting into the warehouse.
If you just think about it, in such a short space of time, we've gotten 6,000 pieces, we've paid $7 million to vendors, we are flying charter planes into India. We have already sent more than 2,000 concentrators to more than 13 states in India. I think it's just something that happened because the more we kept doing it, the more we kept feeling that, you know, this is not enough. And that feeling of it not being enough is what led to, you know, us doing what we are doing right now.
As the paperwork comes, hopefully kal subah tak ye sara nikal jayega and we'll get it all out of
here.
The goal is to get them to the best place possible. And what is the best place? Where the need is the most critical at this point of time. We've partnered with multiple on-ground NGOs and organizations who understand where the real need is in rural India as well today, because the problem has extended down to the rural levels, to the smallest villages.
Smaller towns like Dhampur in North India are not spared. Some even lack the basic infrastructure to deal with the crisis.
जब भी कोई यहाँ पे मेडिकल इमरजेंसी होती है तो यहाँ के लोगों को 50-60 किलोमीटर का ट्रेवल लगभग करना पड़ता है और जिस तरह से ये पैंडेमिक आया अगर हम उसकी बात करें तो हर तरफ हाहाकार मचा हुआ था लोग सड़कों पे ही दम तोड़ रहे थे और लोग इधर उधर भाग रहे थे चारों तरफ अफरा तफरी मची हुई थी कि कहीं से भी कोई एक बेड अरेंज करा दो या हॉस्पिटलाइजेशन करवा दो
तो लोग इतना डर चुके थे और डॉक्टर भी इतने डर चुके थे कि डॉक्टर ने ओपीडी ही बंद कर दी थी तो कमाल भाई की कॉल आई कि नाजिम भाई लोग ऐसे परेशान हो रहे हैं उनको सुविधाएं नहीं मिल पा रही हैं उन्होंने एक आइडिया शेयर किया कि अब कि हम खुद में एक हॉस्पिटल शुरू करते हैं और हम अपना डॉक्टर बैठाते हैं
मेरे चाचा जी हैं जिनका ये स्कूल है मैंने उनसे कहा कि मुझे यहाँ पे एक कोविड का एक सेंटर डालना है
हमने ये सोचा कि हमारी जो भी अभी तक की जो सेविंग है हम आपस में कंट्रीब्यूट किया
घबराना नहीं है
लेकिन जब हमने इसको शुरू कर दिया तो हमें जो उम्मीद थी उससे अच्छा रेस्पॉन्स हमें मिला और कुछ लोग सामने आए उससे हमें हिम्मत भी मिली और उनके जरिए और कुछ अपनी जो सेविंग थी उनके जरिए इसको अभी तक हम चला पा रहे हैं
भैया इन्हें अंदर ले गया
लगभग हम डेली का 50 से 60 लोगों की हम यहाँ पे ओपीडी करते थे उन्हें दवाइयाँ देते थे कुछ तो ऐसे होते थे कि 92-93 सेचुरेशन होती थी कहीं उसको ऑक्सीजन की ज़रूरत ना पड़ जाए
मैं और कमाल भाई हम दो दिन में मुश्किल से 4 घंटे सोए होंगे क्योंकि वो दौर ऐसा था हम एक दिन भी लेट नहीं करना चाह रहे थे और हमने ये देखा कि हमारे जितने जानने वाले थे जो डर के उन्होंने कुछ सिलेंडर अपने पास रखे थे हम उनके पास गए उनको समझाया कहीं से एक सिलेंडर लिया कहीं से दो लिए इस तरह से करके हमने 20 सिलेंडर अपने हॉस्पिटल के लिए किए जहाँ जहाँ हमें लग रहा था कि हमें 1-2 सिलेंडर भी मिल सकते थे चाहे उसके लिए हमें 100-150-200 किलोमीटर भी चलना पड़ा हम रात रात भागे और हमें एक एक सिलेंडर हमने एक एक जगह से उठा उठा के वो बैकअप पूरा यहाँ तैयार रखा आज हमें यहाँ से 3 सिलेंडर मिले हैं और जब हम यहाँ आते हैं हमें 1 सिलेंडर मिले 2 मिले या 3 मिले या 5 मिले तो जब हम यहाँ सिलेंडर लेके अपनी गाड़ी में डाल लेते हैं तो हमें ऐसा लगता है जैसे हमने आधी जंग जीत ली है मेरी मम्मी ने शुरू के 10 दिन मुझसे बात ही नहीं कि तुम क्यों जा रहे हो वहाँ क्योंकि माँ को तो पता है कि क्योंकि 3री-4थी कॉल वही मौत की खबर लेके आ रही थी तो हमने उनको समझाया कि अगर सारे लोग यही सोच के घर में बैठ जाएंगे तो हो सकता है कि हमारे परिवार में से कोई ऐसी स्थिति में आ जाए वो उसको ऑक्सीजन या बेड ना मिल पाए और वो मर जाए हमने घर वालों की नाराज़गी सही और हम दोस्तों ने मिलकर ये काम किया कहीं ना कहीं ऊपर वाले का हमारे ऊपर आशीर्वाद रहा और हम इसमें कामयाब भी हुए
Thank you. Infection rates crossed 21 million by May 2021. There were 400,000 new cases every day, a world record.
Have been reported in the last 24 hours alone. This is the highest number of cases that have been reported in the country.
Over 40 countries, including the US, UK, Russia, Singapore, rushed to our aid. The Indian Air Force does non-stop sorties. Warships bring oxygen plants from abroad, and special oxygen trains are pushed into service. How had we gotten here? We had battled the first wave successfully, with nationwide lockdown for over 70 days. The numbers had come down by early 2021. But did we let our guard down too soon? At the start of the year, large-scale celebratory events took place. The virus had mutated, and a highly infectious variant of the virus, the Delta variant, had begun to spread.
Every virus has got its genetic code. When we talk about its genetic code, this virus has got an RNA, ribonucleic acid, for its genetic code. I would describe it as a necklace made up of almost 30,000 beads. And the 30,000 beads comprise of four main colors. And for its genetic code, the beads come in a pre-ordered sequence. And when it is multiplying very rapidly, sometimes errors come in the order of those beads. So those changes are known as mutations. And these mutations, they begin to be called variants of the virus. Whole genome sequencing is really looking at that necklace of 30,000 beads. It is examined from one end to the other to see where the beads have been changed. And sometimes when these beads are changed, it confers different properties to the virus. The ability of a virus to be termed as a virulent strain is dictated by its genes. So what contributes to virulence? One could be that it becomes more infectious. It's able to quickly get into a cell and then even jump from cell to cell. The other is it could impact on the infected person's immune system. We all have heard of this so-called cytokine storm in people who have severe COVID. So it can cause a hyperimmune or an exaggerated immune response. It could also spread from one organ to another organ. In this case, the B.1.617 or the Delta variant has been found to be highly transmissible.
In the second wave, our daily oxygen requirements triple from pre-pandemic times.
So what was the real problem with oxygen? Now, typically, hospitals don't generate their own oxygen anywhere in the world. They typically are supplied by liquid oxygen, which is then stored on site in cryogenic tanks. It is not that India doesn't make enough medical oxygen. India makes a lot of oxygen, over 7,000 tons a day, and it happens to be in, you know, remote locations which are close to steel plants.
When government of India came to know that there is a crisis all over, then where can they get the oxygen? The answer is it is available with the steel plants, because steel plants use oxygen, and part of that, about 10 to 15% of the oxygen, is kept as a storage reserve. Because whenever we have a shutdown or we have a maintenance or breakdown in our oxygen plant, then we need at least 24 hours of buffer. So this is a reserve quota always we have. So what is liquid oxygen? From air, we separate nitrogen and oxygen. At a particular temperature in minus 180 degree, we separate the nitrogen first, and then we separate out the oxygen. And then oxygen at that particular minus temperature comes into liquid form. It looks like a water. And then we fill it up in our tanks. You can transport as liquid from one location to another location. There are 7 large steel industry in the country, and we all can produce every day 2,000 tons of liquid oxygen. So the country's demand is on peak demand was 2,200 tons. And we had a capacity of more than 2,000 tons. But how to transport, you know, all the way from central part of India or eastern part of India, bringing the oxygen to a particular city, that was a marathon task.
Some days were raining also. Tankers would arrive at 2 o'clock. Our people worked day in, day out, fill it up as soon as possible, and then see them off. The turnaround of the tanker is very important because same tanker had to ferry. That time, priority was to supply as much liquid oxygen as we could. It was like a mission, you know, saving lives.
We're experiencing an average of 2,000 deaths a day. But we are fighting to get things back in control. This is a nationwide effort.
My father was an army officer who tells me that wars are fought by systems, not by individuals. And I knew when I joined, I'm a student of history, that earlier pandemics, whenever they came, whether it's bubonic plague or Spanish flu, they were for years together. So I told my team, it's not a question of ad hoc response for a month or 2 months. This is a battle or a war which is going to go on for years. So we must build systems. The first wave, we created something like 26 different systems or initiatives or models. And each of these models, I would say, is unique in the world. So the second wave came, systems were on autopilot. Mumbai is the only one city in the world today also where the COVID positive report does not flow from test lab to the patient directly. So I said, these reports shall come to me. This was a very risky decision I took. It creates panic in the market and they start running around and they start visualizing death. And we created ward war rooms. Each ward roughly gets about, say, 40 names. Each dashboard just gets about 4 names. And each dashboard is manned by a professional doctor. And that doctor had to ring up only 4 people, announce their positivity to them, send ambulances to the home, and then we decide what category of bed he's entitled to. There is social equity. So this system, which we call as chase the patient, right from his test report to putting him on the bed, it worked greatly in our favor because we made the patient captive at his residence. Otherwise, if he had gone to a couple of hospitals seeking for bed in taxis or private cars, by evening he would have converted dozens of people more COVID positive. These 7 jumbo hospitals which we created with 9,200 beds, 612 ICU and 70% oxygenated beds, not even one bed was shut down. Despite the fact, whole December and whole January, we had no cases almost.
From the end of March, we were watching what was happening in Maharashtra and we were also kind of hoping that it would not happen here, but at the same time planning. Highest peak of cases last year was around 4,000 for Bangalore. And we never expected that the cases would reach around 23,000. So the surge in number of cases has been quite unexpected for us.
Bangalore as a city has around 1,200 to 1,500 ICU ventilators. And we are sitting at an active case of 2.5-3 lakh. So basically the equation doesn't match up. You know, nobody can build maybe in a month also number of ICU beds and the ventilators that is required. Nobody can build it. So it was underprepared, but we didn't even expect that, you know, this will go to this extent.
We have around 60 triage centers which are working. And the purpose of these triage centers is that any patient tested positive, he has the option of walking into a triage center.
After we understood that, you know, people under home isolation, they were going under a lot of stress. They get that panic, like, you know, what do we do, whom to meet, or, you know, where do we get the assistance? So triage centers are placed within 2 to 3 kilometers or maximum 5 kilometer radius. So these triage centers have 24/7 doctors, paramedic, and also oxygen supports.
We wanted to reduce the caseload on the ICUs. The health system was already burdened. It was already splitting at its seams as well. So in that way, this center helped too, because oxygen was being provided. And last but not the least, everything is done absolutely free.
India is battling its worst public health crisis. We have a huge population of over 1.3 billion people. And one of the ways out of this crisis is to vaccinate everyone as quickly as possible. In early 2021, we had embarked on one of the largest vaccination drives in the world. The plan was to vaccinate 300 million people by August. But just as the second wave peaked, the vaccination drive stumbled.
India's vaccination journey with respect to COVID has been mixed. India makes about 2.5 million doses a day. So if you convert that in numbers of people vaccinated, that's about 1.2 million people can be vaccinated a day based on the vaccines that are made in India. But considering that India has a population of about 900 million or a billion that need to be vaccinated, you're talking about 900 plus days or 3 years to vaccinate at that rate. So just because of the size of the population, the production capacity needed to have been ramped up by 5 or 6 times where it was so that we could vaccinate people in 6 to 8 months rather than over a 3 year period. Because that did not happen, we're stuck with having to import vaccines now.
Nandurbar is a district situated in the northwest corner of Maharashtra, having population of around 2 million. Around 70% population is tribal, and in terms of literacy, in terms of income, it's one of the lowest in the state.
Lasikaranacha karyakram aplya desh patadivar, jilla patadivar, gram patadivar ghenyat yet ahe.
Many cities, there were long standing queues, people were waiting for getting vaccinated. Here, despite of active involvement, actively pursuing many local leaders or many tribal people, they were apprehensive, fearful, and they were not believing us. Somebody saying that this vaccine will make you impotent, someone saying that, you know, they will kill you and your kidney will be given to somebody sold out to market. Somebody saying after taking the vaccine in 4 or 5 days, you will be dying, you know.
एजुकेशन नहीं होने की वजह से उनको मालूम नहीं रहता वैक्सीन लेने से क्या होगा तो उनको यही डर है कि भाई मुझे ये बीमारी है तो मैं वैक्सीन लेने के वजह से मुझे ज़्यादा बीमारी ना हो जाए
सो वी डिप्लॉयड ऑल अवर टीचर्स आशा वर्कर ग्राम सेवक एंड वी मेड दैट लाइक अ कॉम्पिटिशन यू वैक्सीनेट यूर विलेज यू वैक्सीनेट योर वार्ड मेक इट 100% वैक्सीनेटेड विलेज एंड देन वी विल गिव सर्टिफिकेट सो मेनी पीपल कम विद वेरी इनोवेटिव आइडियाज समबडी टेकन द फॉर्म ऑफ महादेव
उपाय लस घ्यायची त्रास तुम्हाला होणार नाही तुम्हाला जो गैरसमज आहे सर्व खोटा आहे आम्ही सुद्धा लस घेतलेली आहे इथल्या सर्व अधिकाऱ्यांनी लस घेतली कोणाला काही झालेलं नाहीये सर्वांनी लस घ्या सरकारला मदत करा आणि कोरोनाला दूर पळवा बम बम बोले कोरोना की लस फुलेले
वाढत्या कोरोनाचा प्रादुर्भाव रोखण्यासाठी लसीकरण करणे आवश्यक आहे
सेकंड थिंग यूज ऑफ टेक्नॉलॉजी बिकॉज दिस इज द बेस्ड ऑन द कोविन ऍप यू हॅव टू रजिस्टर इट इंटरनेट अवेलेबिलिटी इज द इश्यू सो रॅदर पीपल आर कमिंग टू अवर सेंटर्स वी डिप्लॉयड दिस पब्लिक सेंट्रिक अप्रोच इफ पब्लिक इज नॉट कमिंग टू सेंटर वी शुड गो टू द पब्लिक बसेस विल गो टू द हॅमलेट्स दे विल पिकअप द पीपल अँड ॲट द वॅक्सिनेशन प्लेस द वॅक्सिनेशन विल बी डन नाव मोर दॅन 2,40,000 डोजेस गिवन इन नंदुरबार बाय दॅट मेथोलॉजी इज द एंटायर द एन्व्हायरमेंट इज चेंजिंग
It's heartbreaking when you see somebody die and you can do nothing about it. Stories of people dying because they got the virus because they had to go out. They had no other choice. Stories of people who tried to get a vaccine, never got a vaccine, and in the end died because they got infected. These are extremely, extremely hard stories because they didn't have to die. But they died because of the way we have created our systems and created this world. And they died simply because of inequalities which are inherent in this world.
Is it the first or the second vaccine? Then you check if it was first, then when was it taken? It becomes critical to have those touch points.
Just that I'm blind and that's just a medical condition. But someone like me not being able to access software because they haven't designed it to be used by somebody who's blind, somebody who's in a wheelchair who can't access physical spaces because they're not designed for somebody in a wheelchair, this has nothing to do with their disability. These are handicaps that have happened simply because of the way we've constructed the world. A fundamental focus is to enable people to get vaccinated. So starting from there to helping them register on the COVID app, understanding their needs of transport or financial needs, such that every single person can have a dignified vaccination experience.
Well, it's been 3.5 weeks trying to procure the vaccine for somebody with a disability like myself, and through the help of the ABBF Foundation, we are on our way to the SL Raheja Hospital, where I have managed to secure a spot for myself and my caregiver to get a shot of the vaccine, and I'm very excited to go and get it. The needs of no two disabled people are the same. The needs of Rustam on a wheelchair are very different than those of somebody else that he knows, right? Or somebody else on a wheelchair.
Mask is there? Superman ka mask.
There are certain pockets in every city where you have higher concentrations of people with disability. So our on-ground volunteers go door to door. They know these people, they're part of the community, so they're familiar with people. They go speak to them and stay in touch with them until they come to the vaccination center.
आपको क्या वैक्सीन से डर लगता है?
तो लगता है.
किस चीज का डर लगता है? क्या लगता है आपको? इंजेक्शन का? अरे ये तो मच्छर नहीं काटते आपको? मतलब दुनिया भर में करोड़ों लोगों ने वैक्सीन लगवाया है आज. तो हम चाहते हैं कि आप लोग वैक्सीन लगवा लें. तो हम आपके दरवाजे पे वैक्सीन लेके आ रहे हैं ताकि हमें समझता है कि आप लोग को तकलीफ है. इसीलिए हम कोशिश कर रहे हैं कि अपनी तरफ से हम वैक्सीन आपके गांव में लेके आए ताकि आप बाद में जाके बिगर डरे आप बाहर जा सकते हो. जो भी कमाई करना है आपको वो आप कोशिश कर सकते हो.
I really believe all of us inherently are good human beings and want to do good. It's just that we all need a little bit of opportunity. We all need to know that what I'm doing does bring a difference to somebody's life. I mean, Sudhir put it very, very beautifully once, and he says, if not now, then when? If not me, who? And I think that's what really drives most of the volunteers, the people who are on ground doing such amazing work.
And while the country grapples with the aftermath of the second wave, the battle with COVID-19 is far from over.
When I had taken over, I had closed my eyes for 5 minutes. I said, look, God has chosen me. And I promised my heart and soul, I will do whatever maximum possible. Our vaccination is going on. And the way you see in UK and United States of America, the mortality has nosedived after vaccination. And we have floated global expression of interest to acquire 10 million vaccine one go. So even if we get a next wave in say 1 or 2 months time, in 5 months time, we will have reached that spot where everybody gets vaccinated in Mumbai. We are building 6,500 bedded 4 jumbos. So these jumbos itself can handle 15,000 plus patients.
So this is the pediatric ICU,
We have the oxygen suction lines air, as well as we have ventilators ready. And we also have the medicines ready in case of emergency for these children. And all this is ready for a third wave which will be coming.
And even as cities begin to slowly unlock and people return to some sense of normalcy, the devastation wrought by the second wave lingers.
Our fear was a lot because we were surrounded by COVID patients since we were a COVID hospital. The fear of bringing it home and the fear of actually getting COVID and dying was a lot. But after seeing so many deaths, I personally am now not scared of death anymore.
For the first time, we were seeing so much more positive news as compared to the divided news, like people who are helping each other irrespective of gender, caste. So it just felt really good to see that as a country, we can be so united if we put in that effort.
If I've got COVID twice, even if I get it one more time, the extreme case will be I lose my life, but the amount of people I've saved, I know I've made a difference, which nobody can take it away from me. I know I've lived my life to the fullest. It's a complete journey.
As we're surviving the catastrophic second wave, we remember the lives lost, the lessons learned, and hope that we never have to go through this devastating crisis again.